Good morning. The health sector of the country has been brought into question. Many have asked questions. Are we really growing? Is the sector appreciating, depreciating? Is there a decline? What is happening? Recently, you know the Jackpot phenomenon. I went online some time ago on one of the popular social media platforms, and I saw a friend of mine who we served together. In fact, she was a lawyer. I say was now because at the end of the story, you'd understand why I said was. She was a lawyer. But then I saw her on social media posting a picture as a nurse. And in my head, I'm like, what is happening? Because she was already even practicing here in Nigeria, I think, before, you know, relocating abroad. And so I was curious. I had to find out. And you see, aside the fact that we have many young Nigerians who are living in the country, even if the government has said some of them are clueless as to how they do it, most of them just want to go, they don't even have a plan. Many have also questioned that not just Nigerians, we have heard about the brain drain topic, where conversations have come around the health sector and how doctors have been migrating to other countries, Canada, UK, US, Cyprus, name them, etc., etc. Recently, the National Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors said that the number of medical doctors in the country decreases daily, and they went on to even say only about 10,000 resident doctors are left in the country. One time, remember the Minister for Labour and Employment, Chris Ngige, had said that, if we have many of our doctors relocating or migrating to other countries, it's simply because we have a lot of them and we are doing well in that area. That's why we can lend some of them to other countries who need them. That was exactly how, paraphrasing by the way, he answered that question during a press conference. Now, you can hear Dr. Emeka Oji, the president of the association, in an interview saying 100 resident doctors leave the country monthly to seek greener pastures. Well, this morning we'll be having a conversation around this. The migration of resident doctors, its impact on the health sector, and don't forget the resident doctors that also made certain demands from the federal government. How much of those demands have been met? How many of them are still left unattended to? Are there any plans to even attend to them? All of these and more makes our conversation for this morning. Meanwhile, on Facebook, be a part of the conversation at Nigeria Info PH. Very simple. Will the migration of resident doctors to other countries cause the federal government and government at all levels to begin to pay critical attention to the health sector? Would like to know from you what you think about it. You can join the conversation at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and at Nigeria Info PH on Twitter. You can listen live online and you can also contribute. Very simple, at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. My guest this morning is Dr. Precious Anwonye. He is President, Association of Resident Doctors at the UPTH. He would be speaking with us on this issue. Unfortunately, we're still expecting his arrival. Hopefully he gets here as soon as possible. Meanwhile, you can also contribute on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416, 0809-030-6416. That is the WhatsApp number. I'll take it again one more time, 0809-030-6416. That's the WhatsApp number. What do you think? Will the constant migration of resident doctors to other countries of the world, would it force government at all levels, whether state, federal or local, to begin to pay more attention to the health sector of our country? That's the fundamental question. And that's what we want to hear from you this morning. Meanwhile, back to what was stated by the president of the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors. He says that according to him, we have only 24,000 doctors. Now, this 24,000 doctors, he says, includes consultants, resident doctors, house officers, and medical officers. How they arrived at these facts, again, I must say, we don't know. But then it is coming from the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors. Perhaps we'd get better explanation as to how they were able to arrive at that conclusion. But this is what he says, 24,000 doctors. That is what we have at the moment. And these 24,000 doctors include consultants, resident doctors, house officers, and medical officers, which means that we might even have a lesser amount of resident doctors still in the country. How many of them are migrating annually? He says out of 80,000 registered doctors, about 64% are not in service. Some have moved out of the country. Some have retired. Others have changed to other professions and others have died. And we also have some people who are from, I told you about my friend who was a lawyer. Now she's a nurse and she's in the UK. And I'm saying people are even changing their, you know, field to into the medical field. But then the point is they're not staying in the country. So that should have been a plus for us, but it seems like it's even causing us to lose manpower in other sectors because people perhaps have realized that, that service, medical service, is in high demand in other parts of the world. Well, my guest is with me in the studio. We'll just join in now and let him talk to us. Dr. Precious, good morning to you. I wanted to be sure about your name, Dr. Precious Anwonye.
Yes.
Aha, yes, we spoke before. So I was trying to be sure. You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for having me here.
And perhaps you apologize to Rivers people and other folks.
I apologize to Rivers people for running 9 minutes late, about 13 minutes. Is that up to 14 minutes late?
Yeah, almost 14 minutes late, yes.
I thought it was 10. But my apologies are the same. My apologies.
All right, quickly, let's cut to the chase and get into the conversation proper. I was just reeling out some of the facts by the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors. The president was speaking, Dr. Oji, and he was saying a few things about only, he says to be exact, 10,000 resident doctors are left in the country. He says we have about 80,000 doctors who are registered. At the moment, we have only 24,000 doctors. All inclusive, this is, not just to resident doctors. My major question now would be to you to start off. Even if it's obvious to some people why we have this migration, from a medical perspective, what could be the reason behind the migration of doctors to a point where we have just 10,000 resident doctors in the country, according to the Nigeria Association of Resident Doctors?
Okay. What the reasons for migration? They are enormous. There are so many. We start with working condition. We start with emoluments. You can just continue listing and listing, but I think the two that top the list is working condition and then emoluments.
Okay.
So those are the two that top the list, if you ask me.
So it's the reason why we have all of these resident doctors living is just simply because the working condition. How is the working condition here and what should be expected?
That's another Hikuyan question. The working condition is nothing to be compared with what is outside here. The working condition is one whereby you have to use a lot of your initiative. You have to go the extra mile to get things to work. Then when you talk about the emolument, the money being paid, the salaries, the wages, there are a lot of issues around there. And you're not going to tell a man that has responsibilities to stay back and watch in the country. And meanwhile, his colleagues are making money outside. Now, why this thing increases is that most of us, we are all in the same class. We are all classmates in medical school. And it's somehow when you see your own classmates counting pounds, making a lot of money from pounds, and you are being patriotic, it gets to the point where it no longer makes sense. Because if you are not listening, if you're trying to listen to yourself, your family, your friends will start talking to you, and then you have to see reasons why you have to leave. So for those of us that are still here, I would like to use the word still here.
Which there's a tendency of you shifting. You too can jackpot.
The truth of the matter, Andrew, is that I think we should have this discussion again sometime by February, by early February next year.
And we'll see how many more might have left at that time.
Because we have the greatest chunk leaving around December, January. That January, we have a chunk leaving because most times the UK calendar has it, okay, you can start your program, your profession in the UK by that time. Then the next time we have the huge chunk is after summer, August, September. So I think it's around those times that we should know how many we are, because I can tell you categorically that the 10,000 resident doctors we are talking about by January next year, by the late January or middle February, we'll be talking about 30% of that will be gone.
What's the implication of this on our health sector here? Because, for instance, there's a trending story. I don't know if you've heard of what happened at the UPTH.
Yes.
And there have been many other issues of similar fashion where sometimes people would point to lack of proper working environment, manpower, adequate equipment. I've had my own experiences. I know a lot of people have had experiences. Sadly, this one, some life had to be lost, which is really painful. But then, how is this affecting our health sector? The fact that we would have resident doctors, and not just resident doctors, consultants and specialists all migrating to other parts of the world. Where does that leave us?
Well, we are losing our manpower. We are losing our human resources. And
the government doesn't think so.
The implications of losing your human resources is what is going to be for us very soon, or is already befalling us. Well, for what happened in UPTH yesterday, for life that was lost, I really will sympathize with the family. And fortunately or unfortunately, he happens to be a friend of my younger brother.
He's a good friend of mine, too.
I'm so sorry.
Very good friend of mine. But my neighbor, in fact.
I think that's the complication of, could be seen as one of the complications of the brain drain happening and then the issues with the system. But then, doctors leaving the country is something that the government has to look into. Now, we've heard the Minister of Health over and over again saying we have a lot of doctors, but we do not. It's going to get to the point whereby people are going to start making do with what they have, whether it's going to be an auxiliary nurse or it's going to be just a community health attendant. Now, it's going to get to that point, whether we like it or not, because if we don't do something right now, we are going to lose a lot. And I think with the government coming up with policies of saying you have to practice in your country
For a certain amount of years
that won't also work because that's totally unfair to us as doctors. And if they do that, I don't know the catastrophe it could cost a lingering strike that can be longer than that of the lecturers. And you know, when we go on strike, it's a serious problem, because you cannot be telling us to stay back and practice when you leave the country for your own health. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That's hypocrisy.
But from inside, what are you guys doing from within? Because I look at some of the government hospitals. Unfortunately, I have to call the one you're working, which is the one that's most popular and the one we go to. The conditions most of the times do not seem like it's not what a hospital should look like. Yet we hear statements from perhaps your CMD and the government and saying, oh, and then the people would look at it and like, are we dumb or are we blind? Because we go to this place and we see, but it doesn't tally with what you paint or the picture you paint. Is it a situation of politics in medicine or really?
Let me get your question very well, Andrew.
I'm trying to understand, right?
Okay.
Because we were just highlighting the work environment.
Okay.
And you were talking about now it might get worse. And you even said, well, you know what happens when we go on strike? It doesn't really make any sense. So we're saying, for you doctors who are in that environment that is not well structured or put together and it's not enabling you perform as you ought to because you might not have the equipment or some other things you need, how are you pushing? What are doctors doing? What can doctors do to cause the government to bring attention to these things, or the management of any health institution across the country that is owned by the government, to address this problem before we have something that we can no longer control?
Okay, thank you very much, Andrew. I think this problem has to be from top down, not down up. Now, it has to do with health financing. Look at whatever the budget for next year is going to be like. We take health financing for a joke. I think for us to get this thing, we should get serious. Let's get serious. 2023 is already by the corner. Let us start with stopping those people that we voted from going out of the country. Let us stop joking with all these things, because people will just die and we take it for a joke. Now, Eto Start is the easiest way to start. Take it from me. Stop those we voted to office to go outside and seek health care. And you see the change in our health institutions. Don't put the pressure on whether resident doctors or even on unions, because this is at the case of political will. It's at the point of political will. Those we vote into office should not go out. I'll tell you for true that the only person that we manage in UPTH that we say is a big wit over this time is a father-in-law of the governor. You will hardly see any, even local government chairman.
They don't come to the UPTH.
They don't come to UPTH.
Wait. I'm trying to understand this. Now I'm understanding your point. So the only big figure you would say that you
that
have...
That I have seen.
That has a political connection or anything.
Yes.
Is the...
The father-in-law of the governor of Rivers State. He's the only one that had come.
And how often?
Just once. So, we don't see them. They don't come. But take it. Let us take it and swallow that. That UPTH, as we talk both in Rivers State as a whole, and in Southside geopolitical zones, have the highest amount of professionals, and I mean different specialists of doctors on ground at a particular time. Mm. You cannot get that. And take it or leave it too, there are some medical conditions that we need is a multi-specialty approach. And those conditions are not better to be managed in a private hospital. Mm. If you ask me, because of financial reasons too, they are better managed in UPTH. But now the point here is that we do a lot of health tourism in Nigeria. Those that should come and then see how our hospitals are and make it better. I'm not even using the hospital facilities. We are going to another election again and nobody's talking about it. And even the last time it was talked about, the same president that said himself that he wasn't going to do that was...
Dr. Precious, let's take a short commercial. Okay. We'll continue shortly. Stay tuned, Nigeria Info.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, we're back and we're live, Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Really long commercial. We had to take that break. We're back now. We'll open the phone lines quickly too, so we get your contributions. Meanwhile, my guest is still very much with me in the studio this morning, Dr. Precious Anwonye, President of Association of Resident Doctors, UPTH. Well, he said quite a lot about reasons why resident doctors are leaving the country. But do you think that this migration of resident doctors and doctors in general could be a factor that might push the government to begin to act?
Of course, if the government does not act, then I don't know what they are government for. But my problem is the way they are acting, the direction they are taking. Initially, they say that we had a lot of doctors. I remember the Minister of Labour. Saying we have a lot of doctors that we should give out, and even doctors can go into tailoring and farming. We took that as an advice and we did not drag. Now, you cannot now say that we cannot leave the country. You cannot say that because you trained us or because. No. We for those of us that went to public university, it wasn't cheap, it wasn't totally free. We paid and we paid through our noses. Now, for those of us that even went to private university, that's a different ball game. So on what premise are you holding us back to stay in the country? That's not the better way to solve it. In fact, that should not even go in any way. The way this problem should be solved is to stop all public servants. We can start with the political leaders and then we go down to public servants of a particular cadre. If we do that, and you know that when you grow in political in public service or civil service, it means that you may not be able to use other hospitals outside the country. You make sure the hospitals around are good. Now, part of the thing is why doctors leave this country is when you work and you're not satisfied, you don't get that joy of satisfaction. Now, when you want to work and you don't have what you need to work, or when you're overworked because there are no more doctors in the country, you don't have any other option but to leave. Now, the issues are profound, but I think the way we can start with solving of this problem is to stop the political class from using health facilities abroad. Okay. And then even if it gets so bad, we bring it down to those that are high in civil service above a particular rank. Should
from
not
from
use...
PAMSEC.
Yes, should not
some
use...
Some PAMSECs will say, Andrew, don't say that.
No, if that is the way we can solve this problem. If we start doing that, we'll get our health facilities, right?
Okay. We'll talk about some demands by resident doctors that were made in the past. How many have been met and how many are still pending, and what is the position of government on those things? In the meantime, we'll get over to the phone lines and take a few calls. 070-0923-0923. Again, 070-0923-0923. Also remember that on WhatsApp you can send us messages 0809-030-6416. Hello, we have David from Yenagoa. Good morning, David.
Yeah, greetings from the city of Yenagoa.
Very welcome, David. Good morning to you.
Yeah, I think it is quite unreasonable that anyway, the figures are not concrete, so to say. But then, it's quite unreasonable to hear that 24,000 doctors, resident doctors, are the only doctors we're having in Nigeria to take care of about a population of over 200 million. It's worrisome. In as much as it is worrisome, and we're all, you know, complaining, and that the government should do something, I also want to appeal to the conscience of the doctors too, that Nigeria remains your country. As long as I'm concerned, if you run to anywhere, you will still come back to this same country of ours. So at some point in time, let us also still maintain what I call patriotism, so to speak, to still remain. We cannot all run away from the country now. So if we run, who else is going to be here? For me, as long as I care, I'm not going to any place. I love Nigeria and I will remain in Nigeria. And I believe Nigeria is going to get better.
All right, David, thank you very much. He believes Nigeria would get better. And it brings me to, okay, is migration the answer?
Okay, thank you very much, David, for that. But then, I think I admire your patriotism. For some of us, we've been very patriotic. But I think this patriotism has a limit, and it gets to the point where you get broken. Now, the problem we have is that doctors do not use different markets, or inflation do not keep doctors. So without doctors or nurses, inflation do not skip them. So we suffer from the same inflation. We use the same market that we all use. Our country has thrown away rule of law. Our country has thrown away meritocracy. So how on earth do you want me? First of all, for being a doctor, I have much responsibility for my family. They feel that I'm a doctor, and of course, I should be making some money to help everywhere. This is not just for me alone, for all doctors, especially when you're male and female. Now, how do you want us, at what point do we continue being patriotic? Because you get to the point where it seems like you're foolish, both family and friends. I've been here, I know my colleagues, my classmates, my roommate back in medical school, and I know how much he's making in United Kingdom. And comparing that with how much I'm making, it doesn't make any sense. And now, the responsibilities do not leave me. I don't use the different market. I don't go to market and say, I'm a doctor, and they say, oh, Dr. Precious, take this. It doesn't happen. So, I do not blame anyone that leaves the country. And as I'm keep saying that the exodus will increase, because now a lot of people are breaking down. A lot of people have been very patriotic, but we've yielded. We are at the yield point, and I don't see it. If the government did not do something different, and what I propose is the only way I see us resolving this issue. It's been a big talk about health financing. It's been a big talk about, yes, put money into our health sectors. Imagine health insurance. We are having problems with health insurance.
The agreement, the demands you made with the government, allowances being owed, hazard allowance, I'm sure, and a couple of other issues. How far has that gone?
Well, Andrew, the issue about our remunerations and the federal government are become perennial issues that we get tired even speaking in media, as we just decide to have our meetings and then take decisions depending on how our colleagues deem it fit. Now, the government is owing us a lot of things, and let it be clear, let us let the viewers and audience hear it now that hazard allowance was 5,000 naira. What does that mean? Either I'm exposed to COVID-19, aerosols, COVID-19 blood or HIV blood, hepatitis blood, whatever I'm exposed to, I have 5,000 naira to manage that. We fought this. This was 5,000 naira since 1991. We fought it until this year was when we were paid the new hazard allowance. What is the new hazard allowance? Is around 32,000 or 35,000. That is the new hazard allowance. Yes, 32,000, 35,000. Now, how much can that help you treat? We're not talking about, do you know the amount of doctors that have contacted HIV because of exposure? Or do we talk about the amount of doctors that got COVID during the COVID period? Or do we talk about the doctors that get stress from the problem and then without psychological or physical stress? So how much will that do for you? How much will it do? Now, if you go to an oil company and ask a plumber working in that oil company, how much is his hazard allowance? So this, we've lost a lot of things in the countries that we shouldn't blame anyone that leaves the country. Now, on the hazard allowance, now, even in, we had a meeting with the federal government. We sat and then we agreed. And it was done on a percentage basis. But guess what happened? Federal government came up one day, sometime in December 2021, and brought a memo. And the memo stated that they are going to pay a flat price. Flat prices, like this is the amount we pay for social and SOCADA, this is the amount we pay for social and SOCADA. There was nowhere in our negotiation that we talked about flat prices. We agreed on percentage basis, but it's typical of our federal government. Now, they've given you that and you must take it. Now, we have to take that and we said, no, we didn't agree this. We agreed on a percentage basis. Go back to what we agreed. We didn't accept that immediately because to us it was a spite that we agreed on percentage and you bring that a total flat price that was not agreed. We don't even know where it came from. Now, after a while, from much counsel from our senior colleagues, the Nigeria Medical Association, and also our sister colleagues, both NAM of the nurses and that of the AMLSM, that's for the medical lab scientists, we listened to those counsel and then we went ahead to accept the new hazard allowance. Why we still continue negotiation? Now, when that was accepted, in Ambro, that for me that they were supposed to pay us 13 months. Even as we speak now, they've paid only 9 months. We're still waiting for 4 months. So the problems are much. We're not talking about the salaries that is not enough. We're not talking about the allowances that is so epileptic. The issues are much. If Nigeria does not get it right, then we'll have a problem.
All right, let's see if we can take one or two more calls before we wrap things up. 0700923-0923. Again, 0700923-0923. Would migration of resident doctors to other countries perhaps at one point cause the government at all levels to pay more attention to our health sector is what we're asking. My guest has said, well, the exodus might even get worse and a reasonable government should do something, but he's not sure that much would be done for him. The only option would be if government officials are stopped from going abroad. That way, we might get the attention that the health sector needs. On Facebook, Tamuno Tekena Opuso David says, Nigeria needs restructuring. Daniel Onwanyanwu says, right-thinking government will pay attention to health sector, but ours will not because the citizens' plight don't concern them. On WhatsApp, this message here says, this one says, even the UK medical system, okay, I think this issue is not pertaining to doctors alone. I'm in the IT industry. I know how many good engineers we lose every day. I've decided to stay here anyway, no matter what, because at the end, I will come back home. Everyone that Jackpa, and I know a lot of them, their hope is at the end, they will come back. We that decide to remain would stay back and rebuild. Even the UK medical system is also losing doctors to Australia and all that, pleading to doctors to reconsider. Pleading to you to reconsider.
Let me add this
because we're already running out of time.
Okay.
So it says, good morning, presenter. The country is not doing very well to those who are serving in different capacities. If those who want to emigrate wish to, they should move on. When the country is, I think you meant migrate, because emigrate will be within the country. I think emigrate will be within the country. Migrate will be out of the country. When the country is good, they will come back, assuming that there is political oppression as it has happened in some countries or during the military draconian days. What will you do? You will jackpa. The government is not treating our workers well. Okoroma Godwin Chooks sent in that one. This one says, good morning, Andrew. The reason why doctors are leaving the country because the federal government is not taking care of their welfare package very well. They should go and make sure money, make some money. Henry from Iwofed, Port Harcourt sent in that message. The police would also say that they're not well taken care of. Should the police also think about leaving the country and perhaps going to work abroad? I don't know if some of them already are, but I'm just saying. You wanted to react to one of the comments?
Okay. Let me start with the comment. Now, that will help me even react to that to the
in,
police.
In 1 minute, so if you can, put it together.
Now, when we talk about migration, when we talk about losing human resources, now there are some professions you can't help. You can't help to use. Now, IT, very important, very good field, but it's easy for IT to even work remotely. But medicine has so much been the case whereby, not even in telemedicine, say, people still prefer that physical touch, that physical feel with the doctor or the nurse. And there is not much you can even get from tele of medicine. Now, but I'm not saying that we'll get better over time. But I'm trying to say that all professions are not the same on migration. And your health is like your greatest. And one thing with health, especially in doctors and nurses, it's kind of almost universal. You just need to also get to the system and understand the difference, because human beings are basically almost the same. Now, but when you talk about IT or police, those things are, IT in this case can be practiced from virtually even your bedroom or your sitting room. You just need a good internet. Police is more of a local thing that don't go universal. What we mean in medicine is that I just have a couple of two exams to write and I'm out if I'm a doctor or a nurse. Two, and these exams are not even as difficult.
We have people who are changing their field. I have a lawyer friend who's now a nurse in the UK. So now, I'm saying security officials can decide to say, well, let's go and become, let's go do a course and become a nurse.
And I wouldn't blame them.
Same point. Time already out of our hands. I wish we could say more. Thank you very much, Dr. Precious, for your time.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Andrew.
My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Hello, Port Harcourt is next. Enjoy the rest of the day.